Delightful. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, realizing that this actually isn't supposed to be a Lakers Lounge episode. So while I while I work to fix this thing, I am Anthony Irwin, again, of LakersDaily.com, Lakers Insider for LakersDaily.com. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers picking up a big win Saturday against Cleveland in kind of emphatic fashion, and riding all kinds of highs going into Sunday, and then immediately being brought down to earth as basically everything that could have gone wrong on Sunday went wrong. So let's talk about the Lakers not having LeBron available as a late scratch, losing Anthony Davis, probably sealing their fate in terms of making the play-in or avoiding the play-in, that is, and just generally kind of a bummer of a night, even if they competed better than we thought they would without LeBron, without Anthony Davis. So we woke up Sunday thinking, look at this. Lakers picked up a big win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Phoenix Suns are going to be playing against the New Orleans Pelicans, which means the Lakers could gain ground on at least one of those teams here by winning against a Minnesota team that was playing without Karl Anthony Towns still. You know, just kind of generally speaking, you're like, you know, things are finally looking up. This is why, by the way, this is why I keep telling you guys, you want me to keep whining about this team, because otherwise, when I start feeling pretty good about them, things go bad. Like, that's how this works. As soon as I start saying, like, look at that. Boom. LeBron James gets sick out of nowhere. Boom. Literally, boom. As, like, another team gets to just smack AD upside the head and not face any repercussions for it. Boom. The Kings won in easy fashion. The Golden State Warriors won in easy fashion. And, the Lakers wind up losing their game Sunday night. So, for the record, when I whine, it's a public service. It's so that the Lakers can continue to climb and so that we can keep on maintaining the positive vibes. Because as soon as I start having any kind of confidence in these guys, whether it's something dumb that they do or it's something beyond their control that happens to them, that we now walk away from and say, dang it, that's too bad. But yeah, the Lakers lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. 127-117 was your final. The Lakers, you know, I thought were playing really well while Anthony Davis was still available. The Lakers held a 2-point lead when AD got hit. He subs out, goes back to the locker room, doesn't come out in the second quarter. And then at halftime, we find out via NBA TV that, or the telecast that you were watching, that Anthony Davis was not going to be available for the rest of the game. I thought Jackson Hayes played really well in AD's absence. I didn't particularly love Darvin Ham's approach to this game, either heading into it or certainly after Anthony Davis got hurt. And look, it probably wouldn't have mattered. You're probably not going to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves with how they've played. They're 30 games above 500. It's a really good basketball team. I think, as Darwin would say, that's a hell of a ball club that they have over there. But it really is in this case. The Lakers not having LeBron, not having Anthony Davis, beating a Minnesota Timberwolves team, always, you know, it probably isn't going to happen. And it certainly isn't going to happen when Darvin gets up to his kind of shenanigans. We'll talk about those here in a second. But, like, as we just kind of stay zoomed out, Rui played really well. 30 points for him on 11 of 17 shooting, 4 of 5 from three-point range, grabbed 6 boards. And, you know, again, he was a plus 1 in a game that the Lakers lost by 20. That's pretty impressive. The other guys in that starting group, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, both played pretty poorly. They combined 9 of, 33 shooting from the both of them. They shot 3 of 15 from three-point range. And, yeah, it was a bad game for the backcourt. D'Angelo Russell finishes 15, 11, and 7. Reeves finishes 14, 3, and 2. But neither of them looked very good. And actually, when the game, you know, when they sensed those two guys, when they sensed that Anthony, you know, that they, you know, might have a chance at getting back into this one, they started just kind of heaving up threes off the dribble without any real rhythm to them. And I thought that basically ended any chance that the Lakers had while they had it. I do need to spend some time here talking about Jackson Hayes. He plays 33 minutes, which is, I would imagine, by far the most he's played this season. He goes 8 of 9 from the field, scores 19 points, grabs 10 rebounds, had 5 steals, which is insane. Like, okay, sure. Just a super active, really good game from Jackson Hayes. Had some thunderous dunks that, you know, really got the crowd going, even as we all were kind of wondering what was going on with Anthony Davis. Nothing but props to Jackson Hayes here, as the Lakers really needed whatever they could possibly get from him. And he gave them quite a bit. You know, honestly, even with LeBron not playing him, while the Lakers lost Anthony Davis, Lakers had a chance in this one. I think they got the game to about 5 points. And then we saw some interesting substitution patterns and some interesting lineups that, yeah, were kind of forced on Darvin by the situation. But I thought he kept on making the same mistake over and over and over again. And obviously that lead ballooned from the 5 points that it got to the final 20-point spread. But you know what? Like, before I get into criticizing the team or criticizing Ham here, the Lakers deserve a ton of credit. The guys deserve a ton of credit for competing the way that they did, given the circumstances that they were playing this game under. Not just losing LeBron, having LeBron being a late scratch, not just Anthony Davis, you know, losing him midway through the third. I thought the refereeing was pretty poor in this one, pretty inconsistent. And, you know, just kind of, you know, when you have all of that going against you, it would have been really easy for the Lakers just kind of like, you know, assume the fetal position and just try to ride this one out. But they really did compete. They got it back. They made it a game again. Naz Reid played yet another great game, probably one of the best games that he's going to play this season. Reid goes 12 of 16 from the field, 6 of 8 from three-point range, 31 and 11 for him, plus an assist, a couple steals and a block. Was pretty easily the best player on the court tonight with a AD going down. And yet the Lakers, I thought, had chances. They were within striking distance. And we'll talk about why they faded away from striking distance. All right. So, I know criticizing Darvin Ham after a game where the Lakers don't have LeBron and AD playing against, one of the better teams in the league, that probably comes off as a little unfair. So I'm going to try to like dial this down a little bit. But so in the first half, after AD got hurt, Jackson Hayes needed to sit at some point. And Darvin, at that point, you know, you don't know whether or not you're going to have AD. Maybe you try to, you know, stick with the typical rotations or the typical guys who would be playing in the game. And his choice at that point was to go with Rui at the 5 with, I think, Cam was out there too. The Lakers were just really small against, I think, probably the biggest team in the league. And it was just volleyball. The Timberwolves were just getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound. Rudy Gobert had 8 offensive rebounds of his own in this one. And the Wolves immediately go on a bit of a run and turn a 4-point deficit or a 4-point lead for the Wolves, a 4-point deficit for the Lakers, into like a 10 or 12 point deficit going into the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. Doing all of this off the top of the head. The other weird thing that we saw from Darvin in this one too, the Lakers started this one playing really well. I mean, if you really, really want to go to the start of the game, I didn't love the starters that he utilized here, as you had Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Rui and AD out there. Gabe wasn't available, so you knew you were going to have to get some wonky lineups, because now all three of your primary ball handlers are starting alongside each other. Thought that was kind of weird and short-sighted. And then, but you know, they come out and they play relatively well, that starting group did. It helped that they were shooting just absolutely lights out. They also weren't getting any stops. So while the Lakers were shooting out of their minds, Minnesota kind of hung around. Anyway, in the, I think it would have been the second quarter, it would have been the first quarter. I think to end the first quarter, the first kind of series of substitutes that you saw come in was like Taurean Prince and Cam Reddish. And there was one more, Taurean Prince and Cam Reddish. It had to have been Jackson Hayes. And the lineup that you saw out there was, yeah, it was in the first quarter. And the and the lineup that you had out there was Austin Reeves, Taurean Prince, Cam Reddish, Jackson Hayes, and Anthony Davis. And I just tweeted out, what is this lineup? I have no idea what is going on right now. That lineup gets absolutely obliterated in short fashion too. And that 7-point lead basically dissipates in the blink of an eye, and any amount of margin for error that you had in this game just vanishes, right? And now on top of that, Minnesota has the momentum. So Minnesota winds up taking the lead, and then it kind of went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then Anthony Davis gets hit in the face and you lose him for the rest of the game. And if that first series of substitutes wasn't enough, you also had that decision that I get it the first time. I understand it the first time, where you basically see if you can squeak out a couple minutes there with Rui at the five, even though I don't think Rui has spent very much time, if at all, at the five this season. But Rui spent some time there at the five in another kind of small lineup. Minnesota bullies that team around, and you're like, okay, well, you can't go to that again. And you're thinking, well, if you can't go to that again, what options do you have? You can't play Jackson Hayes, you know, 24 minutes in the second half. So what the Lakers wind up, I thought, should have done, especially once you find out AD isn't coming back, you're probably going to lose this game anyway. And maybe it doesn't change any. It probably doesn't change anything. But I would have liked to seen Colin. At some point, you got to find out what the hell you have in Colin Castleton. Like, we haven't seen anything from this guy in competitive situations this season. But Colin Castleton, I thought, would have made some sense in that second half. After you find out that the really, really big Minnesota Timberwolves team, that amount of size was really difficult for the Lakers to deal with. But the Lakers go right back to Rui at the five again, and that unit again gives up another run. And, finally Jackson Hayes comes back in. Weird kind of subbing that went on here. So Hayes comes back into the game and he exits so quickly that I thought maybe he picked up like his fourth foul in the fourth quarter or something like that. And Darvin wanted to save him there. Hayes finished the game with 3 fouls. So it wasn't that. I don't know why he had such a quick hook in that fourth quarter. So Hayes subs back out. The Lakers go back to that small unit, knock down a couple threes, but like they were giving up so many offensive rebounds that like Minnesota again extends the lead. So by the time Hayes comes back in there, and you have something of a closing lineup, the game is basically, you know, you have to play basically perfect basketball to have a chance at it. They didn't play perfect basketball and the game ended. And again, because of the situations, because of who wasn't available in this one right from the get-go, and then certainly once AD goes down, the Lakers probably aren't going to win this game. Like I'm not blaming the way that this turned out on Darvin Ham. I just thought it was a really weird series of decisions that he made, starting with that hockey sub that led to that really weird lineup in the first half, and then, you know, the small lineups that he kept going back to. It was, you know, really reminiscent of last season when, you know, yeah, all of your talent just happens to be with guys, you know, Rui's height and smaller when he's is resting. But like you there are certain baselines that you need to make in basketball, especially against this kind of a matchup. And the Lakers were just too small. They were my dad was watching the game. He's like, this looks like a JV team. Like this, they're, you know, the varsity team is just sitting there playing volleyball on the backboard, and the JV team is just kind of looking up, hoping that they miss a layup in a certain way or at a certain angle that allows you to get a rebound and get out and run. And you know, the game turned out the way that it turned out. So, I don't know. I just don't think he's an NBA coach. And I guess I'm going to keep on screaming into the void. We didn't see Max Christie at all in this one until garbage time. I thought that was a weird decision to make, given some of the length that you have on Minnesota, especially after you lose Anthony Davis. And you need to have some perimeter defense that doesn't give up straight line drives to the basket. Cam Reddish played tonight. I thought he looked pretty bad again. And it was just, you know, I you didn't get much from Torian Prince. You know, if you're going to keep throwing, you know, crap at the wall and hoping something sticks there with the Rui at the five lineups, then, you know, you may as well try to trot out Max Christie or Colin Castleton. You get neither of those guys in there. The Lakers wind up losing. And, you know, it just, I guess it just kind of is what it is. I'm trying not to get angry or not. I'm trying not to like overreact given the situation there, but it's that meme. Yeah. My expectations were low because of who wasn't available in this one, but holy bleep, you guys still managed to bleep it up. And when I say you guys, I mean, you guy, like that guy. All right, we do have a bit of an update. We got a bit of an update from Dave McMenamin while the game was still going on, even though after the game, when Darvin Ham was asked about Anthony Davis, he said that there was no update, which you got to turn on those notifications, Darvin. You got to stay. I've been making the joke all year that like he finds out when we do who is going to be playing. And nothing is, I guess, clearer than Dave McMenamin saying that, yeah, you know, it looks like maybe he might be able to give it a go next game. According to sources, close to the situation. Yeah. This is Dave McMenamin 47 minutes ago. There is optimism that Anthony Davis will be able to return to the lineup on Tuesday against Golden State. A source familiar with the situation told ESPN. That was the update mid game. Darvin Ham gets asked about it after the game, says there is no update. And, you know, they need to find some kind of a PR person, some, you know, just to go up there. And anytime somebody asks about injuries, I got that one. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about, you know, the procedure situation and just generally just kind of talking out of turn. I'll field the questions about the situation when it comes to injuries, and then we'll all move on together. But Anthony Davis, according to Dave McMenamin, there is optimism that he'll be able to go against Golden State. It's a huge game. The Lakers basically have to win out. We'll talk about the standings here in a second, but the Lakers do basically have to win out here if you want any chance whatsoever to climb any further in the standings. And fortunately, it looks like they're going to be able to have AD. Hopefully LeBron over the next 48 hours will be able to recover as well. And the Lakers will be whole going into that game against Golden State, where, you know, Steph didn't play tonight, or last night, if you guys are listening to this in pod form. Andrew Wiggins also didn't play against Utah, so those guys will have plenty of rest as well. It's a huge game on Tuesday against Golden State, and hopefully the Lakers can be as whole as they can possibly be. All right, let's dive on into the comments here. We do have a couple super comments, which means... Fuck Washington! Brandon Omeng writes, D'Lo only goes crazy when we're down double digits or up double digits. What's going on with AR? Again, like I said, I don't trust in D'Lo in the playoffs. He shrinks. I wouldn't go quite that far with D'Lo personally. I know he's kind of a maddening player. He played poorly here. Tonight, he had a good game against Cleveland. While that game was still tight, his shooting basically kept the Lakers in it. He's been good this year. The Lakers aren't in the spot that they are right now. That being like the ability to potentially play out of the play-in without the way that D'Lo has played this year. I wouldn't go that far. I've made that joke a bunch. About D'Lo and that 15 points up D'Lo is the best player in the league. I do think there's some of that, but I wouldn't necessarily say that like this game tonight was, you know, indicative of everything that I'm worried about with D'Lo. He has a really big gap between floor and ceiling, and tonight he was closer to the floor. When he plays like that and Austin plays the way Austin did, you're really, really kind of playing behind the eight ball. And as far as Austin, I don't want to post bail for the guy because I do think that there are some things that he could be doing better. I do think he just looks tired for one thing. You watch him shoot. And the ball's coming up short a lot. His three-point shot has really kind of faded of late. So you have that going on. I also think, first you have D'Lo and Austin as your backcourt and as kind of your primary ball handlers over the course of the game until LeBron kind of takes over late. And, he was in and out of the starting lineup I thought he finally started kind of getting into a rhythm, and then boom, you add Spencer Dinwiddie into the situation, and now he has to learn how to play alongside another primary ball handler out there. And then I thought those three guys were really starting to play pretty well together. And then, all right, Gabe Vincent is back, and let's try to figure that out now. Gabe Vincent has been in and out of the lineup as they try to manage his injury situation. So not only are you adding this variable late in the season after they'd been playing well, but you're also trying to keep him healthy, which means while you're trying to figure this extra variable out, he now is not available on a night-by-night basis, and so you can't quite do that. So it takes away from his reps there and everybody else's reps while they try to figure out how to play with him. And I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that Spencer Dinwiddie looked kind of lost right when Gabe came back, and Austin Reeves has looked kind of up and down and more down than up since Gabe came back. It's just too many small guards. And, I hope Gabe is and stays healthy here moving forward, but I do kind of hope, especially if he continues to shoot as poorly as he has, that the Lakers just kind of move on from this experiment and go with the three guys that have kind of helped spur the run that the Lakers have been on of late. The next comment here that we have from Brandon is also about D'Lo, but first, D'Lo doesn't even try to play like a defense. His defense tonight was pretty annoying. I will say that. He spent a lot of time on Nikhil. Alexander Walker? Yeah. And lost him a bunch. NAW winds up going in 25 minutes, 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3-point range for 15 points. He was a plus 11 on the game. And I thought D'Angelo Russell did a really poor job of sticking with him off of the ball and staying in front of him on it. And look, like, that is the thing with D'Lo is, and he has told you, right? His impact is going to come on the offensive side of the ball, and he basically is hoping to be league average defensively. Well, on a night like tonight, when he shoots as poorly as he did and isn't particularly aggressive on offense, you know he's not necessarily going to make up for it defensively, and you wind up just getting a bad D'Lo game. And I thought this was one of those kind of bad D'Lo games where he isn't good enough defensively. He isn't talented enough defensively to make up for his shooting struggles on the other end. And that's where you kind of, you find yourself there. All right, let's take a quick look at the standings here. My dude, Gary Kester, we used to write together at Lakers Outsiders. He put together what the Lakers' situations are based on the number of wins that they get in these last four games. So I'll put it up here on the screen. In order for the Lakers to avoid the play-in, they have three games, sorry. In order for the Lakers to avoid the play-in, they now need, if they finish 3-0, two Phoenix losses, two Sacramento losses, and one New Orleans loss before playing the finale against the Lakers, which the Lakers obviously would need to win. That is a lot to ask for, especially given the way that Phoenix is playing. Yeah, they got beat pretty handily by the Pelicans, but they've been playing Bradley Beal at point a lot more recently and have looked better as a result. Sacramento, you know, they don't have Malik Monk, but they beat the absolute crap out of the Brooklyn Nets last night. And, you know, they are going to try to be finishing off this season in kind of solid fashion. And then the Pelicans, we just saw them without Brandon Ingram beat the Phoenix Suns pretty handily. Zion Williamson is playing really good basketball, of his own. So, yeah, it's a lot of help that the Lakers are going to be asking for, and whether or not they get it, who knows? But hopefully, and look, this is what we've said, right? All along, we have been hoping that the Lakers, and we have, you know, heard the Lakers say that they don't care about seeding. We just saw before the game, Darvin Ham say, we're going to wind up where we should wind up. It's just a matter of how good basketball we're playing on both sides of the ball. That's their focus. And frankly, that's probably the right message to send. Just take care of what you can take care of, and see where the chips fall after you, play as good a basketball as you possibly can. Because, like, the Lakers could get all that help, right? The Lakers could, you know, they could get those two Phoenix losses, and they could get those two Sacramento Kings losses, and maybe New Orleans loses, and the Lakers somehow beat them on that last game of the season. But if that's like, you know, if you kind of squeak by here and you don't play your best basketball and you avoid the play-in, well, then now you're hoping to really kind of turn things up in the playoffs. And it's just really kind of difficult to do. So, you know, for the Lakers, you just got to take care of business. You have to go out, focus on the three wins that you need to rack up here to wrap up the season. And you need to see where you wind up or what the standings look like after the final whistle of game 82. And if you wind up needing to play in the play-in, at least you know you're going into that with a little bit of positive momentum. If you are playing basketball the right way on both sides of the ball. We'll kind of see what happens. It is a bummer, right? It is a bummer to have felt like maybe you could avoid the play-in if LeBron and AD play tonight and they beat the Timberwolves and they take care of that business. And now all of a sudden you're sitting at kind of a cool spot, but unfortunately that's not the situation that you're dealing with. And now you got to win the games that you have left over. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown. Again, thank you everybody for tuning in the way that you did. Please do hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge and hit the subscribe button there. If you're watching this on YouTube or if you're watching this either live or after the fact, hit that like button. That helps us a ton as well. If you are listening in podcast form, please do hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you later.